Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to come here to hear your Son speak to us. Lord, speak. Open our ears, open our hearts to hear your word and change us through your life-giving word so that we would go, that we would proclaim what wonderful work that you have done in our lives, starting at home and then going out. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. Grace, mercy, and peace are to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Go home. Go home and tell everyone what God has done for you. Those were Jesus' words. Man, I know within the Lutheran church, we're not big into testimonies. We're not big into having people come up and speak about what God is doing in their lives. But this man had a story. This man had a testimony of what God had done. And I bet it even got better as the time went on. Not that he had to, embellish. Not that he had to add a little bit of false stuff into it so that more people would like it. It wasn't a fish story. The fish was this big, and then by the fifth time I tell it, it's this big. I just think that over time, he grew in faith and the Holy Spirit continued to move in him. If it was me and I went and home and Jesus was no longer there, that fear would creep in. What about if these demons come back? I saw him go off the hill, the side of the cliff, but I don't think pigs dying means demons are no longer. They could come back. But as time passed, he realized that the words of Jesus and what Jesus had done in his life was more powerful than the demons that were dwelling in him. And so he could speak with boldness. He could speak with confidence. What a story. What a story. To not just have a demon to be driven out of you, but to have many. What is your name? Legion, for we are many. And it wasn't just that, but there was, stuff in his life. He was the one who was the outcast. The people tried to keep him under chain and lock him up, but by the strength of the demons inside of him, he would bust free. From the wrist chains, the ankle chains, it would send him out into those solitary places among the dead with the tombs. And there he would be crying out over and over and over again. It didn't say it in Luke, but in Mark, he cries out. He cuts himself. He hasn't worn clothes in who knows how long. Not somebody that we would say there is a normal person. And I wonder about, the crying out and the cutting. I wonder if it was crying out that he was proclaiming what the demons want him to proclaim, or is he just constantly crying out in pain, crying out and somebody help me, somebody deliver me. I'm living in a literal hell right now. And even the cutting. Is it the demons forcing him to destroy his body because demons don't want to party with us at the end? They don't want us in hell to throw a party. They want us destroyed. I wonder if they were cutting him so that they would destroy, as elsewhere we see a demon causing the younger boy to throw himself in fire and water to kill himself. Or again, was he cutting himself? If I could just cut my wrist and I can bleed out and all of this would end, but the demons are stopping him from even doing that because they want him to suffer. If there was anybody further from health and wholeness, this guy is the farthest from that. But all that changes when Jesus comes to town. All that is pushed aside when Jesus is there. Jesus leaves Jewish side of the lake and goes across to Gentile territory to help this man. And I think we have to do a couple things before we can talk about this story, because Luke has four miracles in a row, all showing us who Jesus is and what he has power over. And right before this, as he's crossing over into Gentile territory, there is a large storm. And that's when Jesus says, "Be still. Be still." And the water becomes like glass. That's important because from the beginning and the Psalms and the prophets to all the way to Revelation, the foaming waters, the tempestuous seas are a symbol of the nations warring against God and his people. But Jesus says, "Be still." And now he's going over into Gentile land and he's fighting the forces of evil. There's a spiritual battle going on all around us, even if we don't see it. Jesus goes to care for this man. Thinking about the Jewish customs and the Jewish laws and regulations, this man would be the lowest on the totem pole. He's a Gentile. But not just that, he's unclean. He's unclean because he's living among the dead. He wouldn't be able to eat the Passover meal. He wouldn't be able to go into the temple. He wouldn't be able to do what they did because of these things. But instead of his uncleanliness rubbing off on Jesus, Jesus' holiness comes to him. And so this man, when Jesus arrives, comes and throws himself at his feet. And he asks the question, "What do you want with me, Jesus?" And it's interesting because the text doesn't tell us who's saying this. I mean, obviously it's his voice, but is it the demons inside of him or is it him? The demons know. The demons know. And again, it's in Matthew, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus? Because the time has not yet come." They know that Jesus has come to destroy them. They know that Jesus has power over them, but it's not yet their time. So is it the demons or is it even the man? Maybe a cry of faith. What do you want with me, Jesus? I'm a sinner. I fall short. Look at me. Look at who I am. I am possessed by demons. I am a Gentile. I am unclean. What do you want with me? But Jesus doesn't run. Jesus doesn't turn around and chastise him. If you would have been better, if you would have done this, if you would have been stronger or tried harder, then no. He heals him. He heals him. He changes him. He drives out the demon. Demons, they're placed into pigs and they're given permission to jump off the cliff. Everything has changed. This man wants to go with Jesus. Jesus is leaving after the whole issue with the townspeople. He's leaving, going back to Israel or Jewish land, Israelites' land. He wants to go, but Jesus says, "No. Go home. Go home and tell your story of all that God has done for you." Even that statement's pretty cool. All that God has done for you. Jesus is telling him that he is God. Jesus knew. Jesus knew that this story is one that will change the lives of not just him, but of others. That they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That Jesus wants people, not just from Israel, but Gentile land, to be a part of this family as well. That Jesus cares for all. And that the Gentiles, unlike the Jews, aren't looking for a king, so they wouldn't take him and do things, you know, to him that isn't a part of God's plan. Go tell him. Go tell him. That's what he tells the man. But isn't that what he tells us? Go tell him all that God has done for you. We have a story to tell. And it's really not that different. No, we don't have many demons living in us, not there. But we were under the control of Satan, of this world, until Jesus comes and frees us. Maybe for a majority of us, it was only as, you know, a couple weeks of our lives, you know, as babies when he takes us to the waters of holy baptism and we are made his children. But until that moment, whose were we? We were of this world, of the kingdom of the prince of the air and this present darkness and all of that. We were Satan's until God rescued us. Elsewhere, Jesus says that he must bind the strong man so that he can go and plunder his house and take from him all of his possessions. We are his possessions. Jesus comes and frees us. And so we have a story to tell. And I think it's important on Father's Day especially, you know, as fathers, what is your role? Yes, it's to care for and provide and all of that for your children, to teach them all the little things, but it's to tell them the truth, the story of who you are and what God has done for you. And I think we always want, at least I do, this is coming from me, I want to be better in the eyes of my children. So I don't talk about how much of a sinner I am very often. But doesn't that limit who Jesus is? Why did this man have a testimony because of where he had come from? And I think the more we understand that we can't save ourselves, it's not if I just do a couple things different. If I would just get rid of this one sin out of my life, then I would be okay. No, we are in bondage to sin just as much as this man was in bondage to those demons. But Jesus comes and frees us. The same way we have to talk about Jesus. How often do we miss that point as well? Or limit it? It's a sad thing. I've mentioned in the last couple weeks, but there are churches that are moving away from Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And we wonder why youth are fleeing the churches. If Jesus isn't the way, then why do I need to sit here on Sunday morning? If Jesus isn't the way, then I'm going to go and do something that I like better. Me. I'm going to go do me. And if it doesn't matter, I'll be good and I'll get to heaven anyway. No, we have to tell the story that we are sinners. We are lost, but Jesus has come and rescued us. Why are you here even? Why are you here? I think this is a part of our stories that we need to really think about. Why do you come here on Sunday morning? As we know, summer's here, it's Father's Day, there's grilling going on, probably people at the lake, all of that fun stuff, doing other things, but why did you take time to come here today? Is it because, well, it's Father's Day and I need to go because Dad wants me to? Is it because I have good friends and family here? Is it because I've just been doing this forever? Or is it because this is the place that we hear the true word of God that brings life? Because if it's anything less than that, we're missing our opportunities. We're missing who Jesus is and what he has done for us. What do you want with me, Jesus? He wants to come and make you whole. He wants to come and forgive you of your sins and make you a child. And he has. He has through the waters of baptism. He has in the hearing of his word. Now, go forth, proclaim, go home, and tell them all that the Lord has done for you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, that through his death and resurrection, we have life, that we are freed from the chains of sin, death, and the devil, that there, yes, is a coming a day when all of this will be put under his feet so that we would reign with him for all eternity. And until that day, let us tell this story, because there are people out there maybe even in our own households, that need to hear it in all of its truth, that we are sinners, but you have saved us. Give us great boldness like this man to proclaim what you have done. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we jump into prayers, I think it's interesting. I know Luke doesn't cover it, but I think it's Matthew. It's in Mark as well. He doesn't just go home. He goes to the Decapolis. In that area, there's 10 major cities. That's where he goes to proclaim them, one city at a time. Let us start in our homes, but let us go into the world and proclaim what Jesus has done. We go to the Lord in prayer.